Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Just A. We're good friends. Best friends.
Best friends.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. We're just chortling over last week's embarrassing personal problem.
Yeah.
Nurse Steve, a.k.a. could have been Joss's lover.
Could have been my lover. It could have been, but for the enema. And my period. Could have been.
Okay, this week we have a novel.
I love a novel.
And I know our listeners love a novel. So we're going to have to pass this back and forth.
Okay.
But just want to say, novel writer, your formatting is so sexy.
I love that. Mm,
wow.
Love
Look
formatting.
At boldface, underline, bullet points.
Come on, you're getting me hot.
Dear ladies, greetings from Canada. I have been a big fan of the podcast and have studied your book extensively. The reason is one friend, Darlene, not her real name.
Mm.
Let me get to the end first and say that I know I am the crappy friend because Darlene was in an accident and has her jaw wired, and I want to dump her now.
At least she admits it.
I love this honesty. A bit of history, 2007 to 2019.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay,
we're covering some ground here.
Yeah, here we go.
Darlene and I met at our former workplace, a government division dealing in research supplies. I had been with them since 2000, and Darlene joined in 2007. By that time, what had formerly been a fun, productive, tight-knit team had turned into a chaotic, suspicious, and stressful place due to the new CEO firing the CFO and replacing him with his own friend. Around 2009, I had discovered some significant irregularities in the records. The CEO and CFO were also harassing, gaslighting, and belittling me continually. I made reports regularly to the HR director about what was happening and my findings, but nothing changed. Every day, I thought I was losing my mind, and Darlene was the only one in the office who supported and believed me. We were both single women around the same age, so we had lots in common and spent time together outside of work. My health and anxiety began to suffer greatly, and I had to move back home to live with my parents. We live in the same city. I am non-confrontational by nature, a people pleaser who was raised to be nice, quiet, and unassuming.
Yeah.
Plus, you're Canadian.
Yeah.
It's just the national trait.
That's, yeah, that's right.
The CEO and CFO had families with young children, and I didn't want to harm them. I went to see an employment lawyer because I didn't know how to report what I had discovered, especially after I found an email printout of communication between the CEO, CFO, and HR director, a huge betrayal, that latter one, on the shared office printer, detailing the tactics of getting me to quit and how they weren't working.
Wow.
For example, throw papers okay, but make sure they don't hit her.
What?
I guess, like, throwing papers is okay, but don't hit her with the papers? Okay.
Dear God.
Deny it happened when she reports it to HR. And new ways they could try. I made a photocopy of the email and told no one. I was fired shortly afterward and offered severance on condition I signed a DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, an NDA. Non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
And leave within 2 weeks. I refused, and my lawyer reported my findings to the government oversight board. The Scooby-Doo villains were all fired immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was an extremely difficult time for me and everyone still working there, and we were all questioned by police, investigators, accountants, and auditors for months.
Mm.
Darlene and I clung together through all of this. By 2010, the division was merged with another, and those employees whose jobs were redundant were given generous settlements and help with employment placement elsewhere. Darlene was one of those redundancies. Because whistleblower laws had just been implemented, and I had technically been fired for being a whistleblower, had endured severe emotional, mental, and physical harassment that was documented by the perpetrators, and mostly because they wanted to ensure that I never share that email publicly, my lawyer was able to negotiate a large settlement for me.
Good for you.
Yes. The new division offered me a position, but I decided to leave and instead took a lower-paying job at a hospital. Darlene decided to go to graduate school and fulfill her dream to be a clinical counselor. She was disappointed and weirdly angry that I did not take her advice and use my settlement money to, quote, do nothing, quote, for a while.
Mm.
As an immigrant, that was against my nature and upbringing. Besides, I liked my new job at the hospital. It was lower stress and I could focus on regaining my health. Darlene and I stayed friends over the years and saw each other often, especially in the early 2010s. In hindsight, the red flags were always there, things that I ignored or downplayed in importance. I think Darlene is what you ladies call a victim card friend.
Mm.
Bullet point number one.
Love it.
Darlene's family and childhood were awful and abusive. She was estranged from all of them, and she often had crying fits about how they didn't acknowledge her on birthdays and holidays. When she broke up with her boyfriend, she said he was going to kill himself because she was all he was living for. He did not kill himself. He had friends, kids, close family, a thriving career, and a hobby. And as a hobby, was the world's foremost expert on a very, very famous musician.
Oh.
Okay, so he was very interesting.
Interesting,
I'm glad
yeah.
he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Bullet point number two.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing at her job. This is in quotes.
I see.
She was doing part-time administration and secretarial jobs while going to school. I noticed a pattern about how she would quit these positions or be fired from them, as her supervisors and colleagues were always, quote, incompetent. She worked sporadically and seemed to live off severance settlements from the jobs she left, loans, and credit cards. When I asked her how she was going to pay off all her debts, she said once her counseling business took off, she was going to be fine. Besides, her father had cancer, and she and her only sibling would split his estate. Gosh.
Wow.
When her dad died in 2016, there actually wasn't much left because he had secretly remortgaged his house to buy cars and car parts that he loved to build.
Oh.
He bequeathed the cars to her nephew, and her sister got 90% of the estate after the mortgage was paid off. With the 10% Darlene received, she could barely cover 1 month of interest payments.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
I'm losing count of the bullet points, but here's another one.
Okay.
Darlene was often rude and mean to wait staff and service people.
Oh, that should tell you everything.
Like, really nasty, mm-hmm. leaving waitresses in tears. At one chain restaurant, she returned 4 different meals.
Wow.
For what seemed to me like stupid complaints. The salt is not sticking to the fries.
Really?
They need to be salted immediately after they come out of the hot oil. Take this away. Restaurants often comped her meals because she complained so much. We had an acquaintance like that.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I know.
Everything, what she would eat, you know, half of her meal and then declare it inedible.
I found this glass in the meal. Yeah.
Okay, so I would pretend to forget my phone or leave my jacket, go back and give them an extra big tip.
Good for you.
She was rude to the waitress for her tea not being hot enough, at my favorite local little sushi restaurant. The next time I returned, I felt so much shame when the kindly old proprietor said to me, "You are a nice girl. You deserve a nicer friend."
Oh, well, there you go.
Next bullet point. Darlene did really well academically, top of her class, but she had problems with the clinical internships she needed to get her professional credentials as a counselor. Her supervisors were always idiots, and she failed one of her rotations. The institution refused to have her back, and she had to repeat the term of practical experience at another agency. All right, I'm passing this over to you now.
Okay,
Jess,
which bullet point?
This one here.
Oh, there are many bullet points.
I know.
Darlene would repeatedly bring up the settlement I got from our original workplace. Quote, "Unlike you, I'm not rolling in money and living off a big fat settlement."
Wow.
Close quote. Even almost 10 years after the fact. Like, I hadn't been working all the time since. Also, she was condescending. Quote, "You're not a good judge of character. Remember how you thought that HR director was your friend and she was betraying you behind your back?" Close quote. Next bullet. "It got to be that I couldn't share anything in my life, good or bad, with Darlene. When my health recovered and I got my career back on track, I bought a condo in a nice neighborhood. The first time she saw my place, she asked if the bookshelves..." My favorite room was my small home library. I like you already.
Mm.
My bookshelves were affixed to the wall or could be moved. When I said they were not permanent and asked why, she said, "Great, we can take them out if I need to move in."
Oh!
What?
Wow.
My therapist, in her professional opinion, was incompetent. Oh, in Darlene's professional opinion. Got it. My vacation trips with my sister, quote, the narcissist, unquote, in her professional opinion, was going to end in disaster. My other friends were, quote, users and losers.
Wow.
I never introduced her to any man I was dating. Couldn't tell her when my parents had health issues or were hospitalized. She never knew I won a provincial level award at work. Next bullet. Eventually, I felt that I was being constantly manipulated and psychologically played. And that's called gaslighting here. The crying hysterical fits and, quote, no one would care if I were gone talk that only seemed to happen when she wanted something from me, time, labor, money, attention. She was exhausting to be around. Last bullet. Is it the last bullet? Yes, last bullet. The final straw came in 2019. We had gone out to dinner where she complained about her meal and got it comped. And then went for a walk when she started to cry while talking about her own financial insecurity and mental health. It got progressively worse and I couldn't understand what she was saying because she was full body shaking, ugly crying, snot dripping, hysterical.
Wow.
I tried to grab a phone to call her therapist because she was in such a bad state. All I could get was, help me, help me. I asked, how? Let me call 911 or her therapist. She finally said clearly, no, I can't see my therapist. Can you give me some money so I can get my mental health sorted out? I need $800. Oh, please. I was crying too by this point because I was so scared by her hysterics. So I transferred her $800 on the spot because I thought she had no money to see her therapist.
I bet the tears dried up like that.
I know. It was like a light switch because she immediately stopped crying. and actually started smiling. Fantastic, she said. I can afford to go to the 3-day symposium for counselors that's being hosted by a famous psychologist from Denmark. She hugged me and headed home, and I was so shocked by her duplicity and manipulation that I sat on a bus stop bench for a long time trying to process what she just did to me. She wanted to go to a professional conference she could not afford and used her tears to get me to give her money. I didn't like or respect her anymore. I felt manipulated all the time and didn't trust her. I stopped seeing her in person. At first, I made excuses, and then I just stopped replying to calls or emails, which is how we mostly communicated, and let things fade. I'm not sure why I never cut her off completely. Maybe because I felt I still owed her for supporting me in the times at work, when things at our workplace were so chaotic and my health was so poor. For sure, because I was also a non-confrontational coward. I would send the occasional email at holidays with the generic message of good wishes. She continued to write me long email messages detailing her life and complaints. I rarely replied, and when I did, it was short, perfunctory notes. The pandemic, 2020 through 2022. I love this.
Love the format.
So
if you're going to send us a novel,
come on.
You got to step it up.
Really?
You got to underline boldface and bullet.
All of it. I love it. Then the pandemic happened. By this time, I was the head of supplies procurement at the hospital that I was still working at 10 years later. It was an extremely trying time for those of us in healthcare in 2020 and 2021. Sure was. Especially in the early days of the pandemic when there was a worldwide shortage of PPE, alcohol, and disinfectant supplies. I was able to use some of my former research contacts to get PPE and hand sanitizer donated to the hospital, but it was so, so difficult to sustain enough supplies. My colleagues and I were trying to stretch what little resources we had. The frontline doctors and nurses continued to get infected. We felt we were failing them and the patients in their care. I had to go to work at the hospital, so I stayed away from seeing any family members and friends in person for months. I'm Asian and worried constantly about my elderly parents and the abuse and discrimination our community was facing in public. Meanwhile, Darlene would send massive amounts of emails blaming public health policy and government leaders for all her problems. How dare they close nursing homes to outsiders? She couldn't visit her mother, who she saw only 3 times between 2009 and 2019. Jesus! Anymore. How dare they have stay-at-home orders? It affected her counseling business. The masks they issued at hospitals were useless. Why wasn't everyone given N95s? I started to delete these emails from her without reading because after a stressful day at work, I didn't need to read reams about healthcare was run by idiots. She was not a priority in my life, and I mostly ignored her. I still have not seen her in person since that last dinner in 2019. I finally did a Zoom call with her in 2021 because she was by herself and lonely and isolated. I understood because I was too. Even though I hadn't spoken to her in a few years, nothing had changed. She had the same litany of complaints, money problems, counseling business not doing well, friends were idiots, her sister was mean, and she couldn't visit her now sainted mother, etc. It was exhausting. I haven't spoken with her again since that 2021 Zoom call. I began listening to your podcast and read your book. I knew I no longer wanted to have her in my life. I even used phrases in your book as a template for ending the friendship email that I unfortunately never sent, something I now deeply regret not doing. A few days ago, October 2023.
Okay.
I received some messages on my phone. Hello, it's Darlene. I'm in hospital. I've been in an accident and in critical condition. I'm going for surgery and I might not make it. A nurse will call you with more details. I love you so much, my darling best friend.
Wow, she texts so well for a dying person.
A nurse from the hospital had also left a message, and when I called, she told me that Darlene was in surgery for a broken jaw from a bike accident. I asked her if she was going to make it, since she was critical, and the nurse said, she's not critical. She's going to be fine. Probably be released in a day or two. You can visit her tomorrow, as we don't know when she'll be out of the recovery room today. Around midnight that same day, another nurse called. Darlene would like you to come now. She is refusing pain medication and is in great pain. When I asked her why I was called and it was outside of visiting hours, the nurse said, since you're her partner and next of kin, we do make exceptions. Her what? Did you say partner? Yes, Darlene has you as her partner and next of kin. I am not either. I'm not even close friends. Are you divorced or legally separated? Because you may legally still be her next of kin.
Wow.
I am not her partner or spouse and have never been either. I haven't been a close friend for years. Like, we never dated each other because we're both straight. Where are you getting this information? Darlene wrote it on the hospital admission form. Darlene is awesome. I'm sorry. She's hilarious and ridiculous.
Wow.
The chutzpah is what it is. Early the next morning, a social worker from the hospital called. The social worker asked me to meet with her and the dietitian so they could give me the necessary information to help support Darlene in my home, where Darlene told them she would live during her recovery.
Darlene, you are something.
I swear. I clarified that Darlene was just an acquaintance and I was not her partner or next of kin, whom I'd only spoken to once in the last 4 years, and she was not going to be living at my home. A social worker asked me to at least visit her in the hospital as Darlene seemed overwhelmed. She said Darlene would be discharged in a few days as the surgery went well. She could walk and move around with no problems. Her jaw would be wired for 6 to 8 weeks and she would fully recover in about 12 weeks. Against my better judgment, I went to visit Darlene.
You know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You had to go.
You had to go.
We totally get it. We would have gone too.
Yes, we would have.
Even though the smart thing was to stay home.
Yes.
Say no.
You got to go.
You had to go.
Yeah. So I went to visit Darlene later that day. When I saw her, she looked awful with a bruised face, wired jaw, and I felt sorry for her. I even sort of understood when she explained that she accidentally wrote my name in the wrong place on the form and that thought that was for emergency contact.
Even so.
My pity evaporated when a young nurse came into the room and asked Darlene if anyone showed her how to use the pliers in case she needed to clip the wires in her mouth if she was choking.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Darlene's response, no, and I don't know what you're blathering on about. I'm not going anywhere for a while, and I'm not clipping anything. She waved her hand at the nurse as if to dismiss her. The nurse then noticed her lunch tray and said, was the dietitian in to show you how to use the big syringe to feed yourself? Darlene snarled at her. Yes, but I'm not going to do it. You are! What do they pay you for? The young nurse and I both physically recoiled. You have to imagine this woman literally has her jaw wired and with only a small gap for the feeding tube to fit in her mouth. She's talking with a lisp and is still being viciously rude to a nurse trying to help her. The nurse left the room. I was disgusted and tried to leave too. Darlene grabbed my hand and started to cry about how the nurses were incompetent. She didn't know how she was going to survive for the next 6 to 8 months it would take for her to recover, as she couldn't do any work and had limited savings. Another lie. The weeks were changed to months. We see that, dear.
Mm-hmm.
She said I was her, quote, very best friend, And she wanted me to know that. I told her, take care of herself and left. Good for you.
Yay! Good for you. Yay!
I was in meetings and missed the messages 3 days later from the social worker about helping her be discharged from the hospital. Since then, Darlene has been inundating me and others with group emails about her poor, sorry state. I don't know the other people she's copying in her emails. She's clearly specified what she expects each of us to do to help her. I feel like a terrible, horrible, crappy person for even asking this question. Am I a crappy friend if I ignore her now? No.
No.
She writes, answer, of course, yes. Answer, of course, no. No. She has no one close to her and is badly injured. I e-transferred her some money.
Oh, my God.
To ease my guilt for avoiding her. I'm trying to be compassionate and a decent human being, but the thought of having to deal with her dishonesty and drama up close and in person for weeks, months, makes me physically thick. I had to take a Pepto-Bismol after the initial call with the social worker before I went to visit her at the hospital to keep her from vomiting.
I would have needed a Valium or something.
Same. Go away, go away, go away. I dislike her so intensely and feel she is constantly trying to manipulate me.
Because she is.
Yes! I don't want her to be in my life, and I dread her being in mine. She is an emotional vampire and sucks all the energy and goodwill from this room. What should I do? My apologies that this is so long.
No,
but it's well formatted.
We loved it.
Yeah, it's well formatted. Thank you, Joss and Kristen, for your kind attention. Sincerely.
Let's call her the uncrappy friend.
The uncrappy friend. P.S. Here's the ending the relationship letter that I had drafted but never sent. Dear Darlene, this is going to be a tough read. Please know that I'm trying to be honest and kind. The type of friendship you seem to need is more than I can or want to give. I'm really sorry. I realize that continuing this friendship is not sustainable for me. This decision is not a judgment of your character, but rather a reflection of my own needs, priorities, and boundaries. I hope you can understand my perspective and respect my decision. Thank you for the moments we've shared, and I will always value the time we spent together. I wish you all the best in the future. Take care of yourself. That's a lovely letter.
Yeah, and, you know, she said she studied our book. I think, like, you know, yeah. that was perfect.
You don't need to. Here's what you need to send to Darlene. Are you ready? Block. That's what you need to do. You just block her.
You block her.
Just block the hell out of her.
Yeah, and I would say, I would tell her, Darlene, you went too far. I've already been manipulated by you far too often. That's my own fault. But I want you to know that I am blocking you.
Yes.
And then do it.
Yes.
Do it.
And then don't have any regrets about that.
My God.
She's horrible. You've called her an emotional vampire, and she is.
She is. And, you know, that scene of the hysteria because she wanted to go to the conference, if you had been able to take that $800 back, I wish you had been able to.
Yeah.
The minute you knew that she pretended to be on the verge of a mental
breakdown
crisis.
Yeah.
And then snapped out of it because you gave her the money.
Come on.
That should have ended the friendship then and there.
Forever.
And it seemed like it did, but then you
got
caved.
Sucked back in.
And I will say, my dear uncrappy friend, when you are exposed to someone, when you're involved with someone as fascinatingly disturbed as Darlene, I think there's a little part of you that enjoys the drama because she is
so interesting.
So interesting. Yeah. She has such brass balls and, you know, just her horribleness is almost entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was for us.
Mortifying in the moment.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to use her in a book. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so I get it. I understand why you Zoomed with her, why you went to the hospital. But yeah, it's time to just cut all ties. She crazy. And
it's so crazy. Yeah. The only mistake you've made is you gave her money recently. You shouldn't
That hurt to read.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. And I'm fairly surprised at the hospital staff, the social worker, the nurses, who after you told them repeatedly that this woman has no connection to you, that they're still calling you.
No, hospital social workers, they're really special.
Yeah.
They don't want her.
Yeah.
And they don't care if you don't want her.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just, you know, they will push and push and push because they don't want the cost of her. And I don't know how it is in Canada, but in America,
yeah.
You know, they'll pretty much drop the person off in front of your house. You know?
She said it was you. Here you go.
Yeah. Saved you the cab fare.
Yeah, there you go.
So you're not a crappy friend. If you don't cut her off, you're a masochist.
Yeah.
And then you need to just admit that, you know, you love this, right?
Yeah.
And you don't. You don't love this.
Don't. I mean, it's not good for your mental health. It's not.
It's not good for your bank account.
It's not. I mean, the minute she found out you had a lot of money and she started bitching at you about the money.
Yeah.
1 second. Glory.
Glory.
I know, you're really cute, but no, we're trying to do something
She's
here.
She's so pretty.
yeah, the minute she heard about your money, I mean, it's weird that she was there for you during the early years, 2007 to 2019, at that horrible workplace.
Well, at that point, I want to say that they were more equals.
Okay.
And once you got the settlement, uncrappy friend, she saw you as a mark.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have anything to offer her. Mm-hmm. You were just a person back in the early days. Mm-hmm. But then you got this windfall, for lack of a better word, the settlement. And it put you in a place of being able to help her.
Mm.
I love that she's trying to become a counselor.
I think that's hilarious.
I mean, we all know that there are those therapists out there who really need therapy.
They themselves.
That they become therapists because of their own mental health issues.
Wow.
And, you know, a desire to get on top of them.
Yeah.
And perhaps, or justify them.
Yeah.
What do they call it when you assign a term to something?
Like,
I want to say, like, medicalize it or legitimize it somehow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I have
yeah,
a title
yeah.
for this now. Yeah. So it's an excuse that I can whip out whenever I want. I have OCD or I have, borderline personality disorder.
Right.
Therefore, I can't be blamed for anything. I love that this fucked up person, this manipulator, this liar, she went so far and she's trying to become a therapist.
I think it's just, it should be a movie, really. It's delightful.
Yes, and you did send us the letter, so yeah. If you see a Darlene character in the next book.
I'm just saying.
You
know what's interesting to me is, she's in the hospital and she's sending a group of people the same email begging for help, funds, whatever.
It sounds like she was demanding.
Demanding.
This is what you guys will do for me.
Yeah, and so, but you still felt guilty.
Mm.
But she has a host of other people that she can lean on if she, clearly, from this group. Yeah.
That's always the case
yeah.
when someone says, I've got no one else but you. You're
right.
The only one who understands, who's there for me, my only friend. They're lying.
Yes.
They're lying.
That's true.
They are users, and they have a whole list of people to turn to.
Yeah. Just block her, honey. Block her from your email, block her from
social
your phone.
Social media, everything.
I do think this letter that you wrote at the end here is wonderful, and I think it'll help a lot of people, because a lot of people don't know how to have that kind of moment where they cut off a friendship or what to say, and you said all the right things.
Yeah.
Then. So
you
I
can
think
send that, and then P.S. I will be
blocking you,
so just be aware that I will not be getting any further communication from you.
That's right.
I think, that's a courtesy. You don't have to tell her that.
You really don't. She doesn't deserve that, to be honest.
But it might keep her from screaming in your direction,
That's true.
And she'll find another mark.
She will. I mean, once she realizes that you are going to be intractable about not helping her, she'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps preying on you because she knows that all she has to do is tell you that you're her best friend and you will e-transfer her some money.
Yeah, you've done that at least twice.
Yeah, and she knows that works.
Mm-hmm.
So
what, if she knows that she's blocked, she won't be asking you. And what a journey.
I love it. I'm sorry that you went through all of that. I'm sorry that it affected your mental health.
Yeah.
But that was some good reading.
And I want you to learn from this.
Yes.
And to recognize all those red flags that you put out there. They are so common. They are so ubiquitous. When someone has that, all those ex-best friends or no family members that they talk to or every boss is an idiot mm-hmm. and incompetent.
And they can only do the thing well. We're mm-hmm. I'm the good one, I'm the smart one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those are the red flags that you should really pay attention to. And you saw them
mm-hmm.
and you put some distance there, but you just couldn't really pull the trigger and close the door.
Yeah.
I hope that that's no longer the case and that you have done that and that the Darlene chapter is over.
Yeah. I mean, and I just want to say to other listeners, if you don't pay attention to all the red flags mentioned here, the one that you should pay attention to is that Darlene was mead to waitstaff. That should mm-hmm. tell you everything you need to know yeah. about someone, and you need to sort of like ease your way out of that person's life.
Yeah.
You're not mean to waitstaff.
No. Nope.
Mean to waiters.
I mean, for one, they bring your food out. If you don't think they're spitting in your food,
hello.
You're wrong.
They're spitting in your food. They are. They're spitting right in it.
I have worked in restaurants. I can firmly attest to the fact
they're spitting
in that you are not getting the best food out of the kitchen if you are treating the waitstaff like shit.
Right.
We did have that friend who never ate a good meal in her life, even when the meals were fantastic.
They were horrible. Something was in it. It was glass, found a hair, but mm-hmm. she always
too
tried.
Too much salt, too little salt.
Yeah.
Salt not sticking to the fries.
Well, that's divine. I'm going to use that. I am.
Miss?
Excuse me.
I want to talk to the manager. You know, Darlene is, of course, a Karen.
She is.
And sometimes at night when I'm having trouble falling asleep, I will get up and go to my computer and Google Karen's Getting Justice on YouTube.
That's a thing?
Oh, it's such a thing.
I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look that up.
So it's, you know, essentially Karen's getting arrested or filmed. I love when they're filmed. Like, don't you film me. That's illegal. That's illegal. My lawyer will be calling you.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it makes me feel good to know that justice does happen to idiots like that.
Yeah.
So please let us know how things go.
How you're doing.
Just write us back when you have blocked her.
Yeah.
And tell us how clean and fresh the air seems around you.
And how happy you are. Mm-hmm. And please do maintain your mental health. Having Darlene back in your life can affect that again. So if you were seeing a therapist before, a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, check in with that person again, just because you've had this recent interaction. This was last month.
Yeah.
So check in with her again and pay attention to your mental health. It means much more than dealing with Darlene.
Yes.
You don't have to put up with this.
Yes. Good luck, honey.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends. Forever.
Forever.